Country Bible Church. We welcome all that are here. And if we have any visitors, which maybe we do, look in the pouch in the chair in front of you, please, and you'll find a pen and a form in that envelope. Put a little information on that form for us, if you would, and put it in the basket beside the door on the way out this morning. Let us know a little bit about yourselves. We sure would appreciate it. We can get a hold of each other and learn a little bit about each other and make sure you know you're welcome. Hey, come on back. So, y'all, please do that and just praise the Lord this morning. And I think we'll turn things over to the birthday boy here.
He don't bite. I do. I just don't bite very hard. Good morning, folks. I'm going to do this right this morning. I'm going to do announcements first. Announcements. Prayer meeting every Sunday, 9 a.m. Room right back over here. We got Mr. Ray back now. He's scooting around on his little scooter. So he's getting along. He's able to come back. Please, anybody that wants to pray, it's open for anybody to come in there. I don't care if you're late. I don't care if you're early. You're always welcome. You don't have to be, it doesn't have to be loud prayer. It could be silent prayer. God just wants you all there, and we appreciate anybody that comes up. Women's Bible study, 6:30 to 8 p.m. with Terry Buckler. This is on Tuesday nights. And the study right now is in 2 Samuel. All women are encouraged and invited to attend. Wednesday night service, prayer and Bible study at 6 p.m. I think, was Ray taking that back over? No, not yet. Wes's doing that right now. Wes will be teaching that. He has various, there's no telling where Wes is going to start or end up. It's just good teaching when he does it. So, you know, I kind of go through a book, so you kind of know where to go with me. With him, you never know where you're going to go into, whatever hits him that day. Thank God for the people that can do that. There's a women's brunch coming up. For y'all people that don't know what a brunch is, that's a breakfast lunch. It's going to be on May 18th at Brenda Smith's home. All women are invited. The sign-up list is back in the foyer or whatever you want to say with it, back in the back hallway where you come in. There's a list back there. I've been told that the brunch is normally at 11 o'clock, but if you get there at 11 o'clock, you're going to be 30 minutes late because it starts at 10:30. So all you gentlemen out there that want to make your wife, so make sure she's not late, set her clock back a little bit more, okay? That being said, I like having a lot of fun and everything like that, and I enjoy coming up here. You know, this is my birthday. Y'all are my family. I don't say that lightly because I speak to y'all more than I see my family at home, my extended family that I grew up with. And we are all members of the family of God. I appreciate everybody that comes up and enjoys this day every Sunday with us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so blessed to live in a country where we have freedom that is unheard of through this world up to our time frame. Father, we can say what we want. We can do what we want. We can choose to do what's right and what's wrong. And Father, it is a blessing and a curse sometimes. Father, we thank you so very much for allowing us to come up in this, to bring us into this country. And we know that all of our rights are fleeting if we take and we don't exercise them. Father, we see terrible things happen to our country. We see different changes that happen. We see from the limited time that I've been alive, for 59 years, I've seen so much transfiguration going on with how the country should run and how it does run, how we treat individuals, how we treat you. Father, it's, you said in your word that whenever you come back, will there be anybody here that speaks your name? Father, we see terrible occurrence. We see people not wanting to, that they'll give up time to go to the store. They'll give up time for the only thing, but they won't give an hour a week for you. We see an eclipse occurring this week. We see people take multi expensive trips to come down and watch the sun go, or the moon block out the sun for a limited time. Spend thousands of dollars. Go out of their way. Take time off work. Take time off school. But they can't take an hour a day, a week, to come and worship you. Father, we're in a terrible situation where we are in this world. But we know that as bad as we think it is, that when we become, when we believe in that finished work of the cross, when we trust the finished work that your son did for us on that cross, that we are put into a family, we are indwelt by a Holy Spirit. And Father, your word says that you will never leave us and never forsake us. We're studying through Genesis right now. We see a young man named Joseph that gets sold into slavery. He gets sold into slavery by his own kin. And then God uses him mightily and rises up him into a household and gives him control over the household, all except for the master. Number two in the household, a Hebrew boy slave. And then the woman comes in there. The devil through the woman comes in and tries to bring this man down. And he goes into he gets thrown into prison, the king's prison. But he never turns away from you, and you continually bless him, and you make him basically in charge of all the prisoners in the prison. And that's our story up to now. And we'll know more about it when it comes up. But Father, we see how you have worked through time and eternity, how you have drawn the tapestry of the world together and created a picture for us. And the picture is that you are in control. You will always be in control. You were there before there was anything, and you'll be there when there's nothing else out there. And we will be with you because you have promised that you will never leave us and never forsake us. Father, be with us as we walk through our day. Give us the peace that surpasses understanding. Let us know that you are with us, because sometimes that's what we need. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading today is going to be out of James. We will be reading chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. I know y'all are already there because y'all had one of these neat little papers, and y'all have already jumped there. So we'll be in chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. I would ask that y'all would read along, because sometimes I am stumped by words, and sometimes I throw things in or leave things out. It's just my nature. So please read along and understand. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass.
And I think allergies got to him. Is that about right, Mr. Soundman? I guess that's good. It's good to look out and see your smiling faces this morning. My question would be to those that are not here, where are you? I miss you. Last week was a blessing. I was reading, as I normally do during the week, to see what is out there. And I understand there's going to be some kind of eclipse tomorrow. Grace, I'll be glad when that's over. In a bulletin that I read about, it says, for those of you who have children and don't know it, we have a nursery downstairs. Next Thursday, there will be a tryout for the choir. They need all the help they can get. It's not our choir. And then I read also Barbara remains in the hospital. Started not to read this, and I don't want any amens. Barbara remains in the hospital, needs blood donors for more transfusions. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of our pastor's sermon. Oh. Mike, I don't want to hear it. Telling you what. It's good, though, to be with you. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you so much for the freeness of the gift of eternal life. Father, we sometimes get all wrapped up in what others are doing and what others are saying and how they're going about building their church. And Father, we begin to say, boy, that's something that we really need to do. And yet, Father, we need to be so cautious that we never change the gospel. We don't water it down or we don't add to it. Father, that we don't put men's works into it. Father, so many times we hear preachers preach and they talk about giving your life or giving your heart or all kinds of mishmash. Father, your word says that whosoever believeth, not give your heart, not give your life. In fact, Father, if we think about it real seriously, we find and we understand that before we trust you, we have no life. Your word says that we're dead in trespasses and sin. And may we, who trusted you by grace alone, by grace through faith alone, Father, that we cherish those things, that we hold them to a higher standard than what the rest of the world is doing. Father, we pray that this morning you would be honored and glorified in the time that we spend together in the next few minutes. Father, we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. That is a pet peeve that I have with so many TV preachers, so many pastors who stand before their congregations composed of those who know Christ, those who do not know Christ, and they instruct them that they need to give their life to Jesus. Let me say this. We ought to be cautious about that. What place does the Word of God have in my life this morning? We're going to be talking about that for the next few minutes. What place does the Word of God have in your life? If we're talking about this Bible, What place does it have in your life? If we're talking about the truths that we find within the pages of this Bible, what do we do with the words that we find there? Do we disregard them? Do we give excuses to those that are unclear in their message? Do we say, well, that's better than some? Better than some doesn't get it for the person who is lost. We need a clear and simple gospel presentation. Where do we go, and what do we see, and how much of God's Word do we have in our lives today? Where do we store the Word of God? If it's this printed page, we could store it on a desk. We could store it on our bedside table. Or if you have a shelf, you could put it on the shelf. Maybe in the closet, on the coffee table, a kitchen table, a bookshelf. Maybe we leave it in the car so that we have it next Sunday to walk in with. Maybe on the end table. Maybe even in the bathroom. In our mind, is that where we have the Word of God? It's where we should have it. Where it would do the good in our life. Otherwise, if we don't have the truths that we find within these pages, we get led astray. We get led astray by all of the good-sounding pastors that are out there. We get led astray by all of the music that we think that is such a blessing to us. Where do we go when we don't have the Word of God within our lives and in practice and daily reminding us of the free gift of eternal life and who we are in Christ, our daily life? Do we have the Word of God in the decisions that we make? Do we have the Word of God in our walk daily, in our marriage, in parenting, in witnessing, in our language that we use? Oh, not the church language that we use within the four walls of this building, but the language that we use on a daily basis. Maybe we don't curse, but maybe we use euphemisms that are used in place of cursing, many times accompanied with a laugh to excuse what we said. Where do we have the Word of God? What place does the Word of God have in my life and in your life this morning? We find in John chapter 8, verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, Christ was speaking, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. In John chapter 8, we find that Christ was on the Mount of Olives. The adulterous woman was brought to him, taken in the very act of adultery. And those Pharisees wanted to have her stoned. And Christ leaned over and wrote in the sand. What place does the Word of God have in mine and your lives? The place that the Word of God should have in mine and your lives, we're going to look at this morning. We who know Christ as our personal Savior, the Word of God should have a place of gratitude for our salvation. Freely given, no strings attached, no giving, no changing, belief. A place of gratitude. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A place of gratitude we should have. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The place that the Word of God should have in our lives. The Word of God should have an inside place in our life. We read, as the psalmist wrote in Psalms 119, verse 11, the Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, this is simplicity. This is grace. This is undeserved mercy that we who know Christ have received. Not only our salvation, but also the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have His Word to look at, to read, to profit by, to guide us. But what's the place that the Word of God has in our lives this morning? To have an inside place in my heart, the psalmist said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin. The prophet Jeremiah wrote in chapter 15, verse 16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by Thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Have you enjoyed a meal, so to speak, of the Word of God? Have you allowed it to nourish you? Have I allowed it to nourish me, to guide me, to chastise me? What place does the Word of God have in our lives? Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, and he wrote and he said, Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Have you ever driven down the road and been so overcome by who God is in your life that you break out in singing? I do that sometimes because I don't dare break out here because I would empty the building. But do we have a place of rejoicing on God's Word within us this morning? Do you rejoice in all that God has done for you, not only in salvation, but also in your walk with Him? In these troubling times, does the Word of God bring you and bring me calmness and peace and comfort in uncertain days ahead? The Word of God should have an influence, a place of influence in mine and your lives. Matthew 7, verse 24, Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and floods arose, and came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Is your life sometimes torn asunder because of uncertainty, because of anxiety, because of fear of what lies ahead? We should have the Word of God to calm our fears. What place does the Word of God have? We find in John chapter 8, verse 47, He that is of God heareth God's Word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. When we, as God's children, lay the Word of God aside, this printed page, but also that Word of God that has been hidden in our heart, and we know, maybe not where it's found by its address, but we know it's there because we've experienced all that God has promised in His Word. But we allow that to grow cold. It's like a banquet that has been allowed to grow cold before you've sat down to eat. What place does the Word of God have in our lives? Should have a place of trust. Paul wrote to this young man Titus in chapter 1, verse 2, In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. We who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are His ambassadors to the rest of the world. We who know Him, we should trust in Him. Trust that God will not lie. Trust that God will not change. Trust that God will not cast us out. Trust that God will not stop loving us. We should have a place in our daily life, in our walk with Him. We should have a place for the Word of God. We should have a place of dependence. Job chapter 23, verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Have you ever, ever had that tendency to look at the Word of God as nourishing, as necessary for your daily walk? Or do we give lip service more than real service? We who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior should have a place of defense within ourselves. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What do we watch on TV? What preachers do we listen to and give credit or credence to? How do we carry on our daily life? In trust and faith and sincerity of walk? What place does the Word of God have in our lives? It should have a place of defense. Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you, to exhort you, earnestly contend for the faith, he said, which was once delivered unto the saints. A place of benefit, of encouragement, of wisdom. The Word of God should have a place. Even when we may feel the Word of God has no place in our lives. Sometimes we feel that we're just too busy to spend a few minutes in His Word. We find ourselves spending hours, possibly days and even weeks, where we never think on the things of the Lord. What place does His Word have in our lives? Maybe we feel that the Word does not come sugar-coated. It's not as delicious, quote-unquote, as what it once was. You see, it's not the Word that has grown cold. We have grown cold when that is our situation. Maybe we feel the Word uncovers areas in our lives that we do not like to admit. All of us, every one of us are sinners needing salvation given to us by God Himself, by grace through faith. And let me give you a little secret. You know it already. If you've been saved any time at all, we still sin. But we have an opportunity. We have a relationship. We don't have one that we go to in fear and trembling. But it's much like when a child disobeys his parent and he is injured. Disobedience caused the injury. That child can run to us. And we have open arms for him. And I can't help but believe that when we have sinned as God's children, God's arms are open to us. Maybe we feel that we're too wise. We've already been through all that elementary stuff. Maybe we feel like the message is too simple, that people cannot understand it. Satan blinds the eyes of the unbeliever. But my friend, let me tell you also, Satan blinds the eyes of the believer. Maybe we feel like we're too cultured for all of that church business, that Christ business that the pastors talk about. Maybe we feel like that we're too important to yield to God's leading. We've got it all down pat. We've got everything understood. We know all of the parables. We know all of the scripture verses. We know all of the applications. We're just so educated and so smart. What place does the Word of God have in our lives? Where do we stand in our walk with the Lord? We find in our walk with the Lord that He has a place for us in heaven. And in doing that, we have all of the questions that might arise in our walk. We have answers to them. Encouragement, direction, chastisement, they're all found in the Word of God. What place does the Word of God have in your life and in my life? Are we to stand for the simplicity and the truths of the Word of God, especially in the area of salvation? Without salvation, the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit in our walk with Him, we can make some awfully big mistakes. We find that when we do not have the Word of God in our lives, we will reject the Word when it speaks to a sin we know we have in our lives. You have one? Listen, most of us have more than one. Most of them, most individuals who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, look back on the things in their lives and they wish that those things had never happened. The hurt that we've caused others because of our attitude. The shame that we've caused ourselves and others because of our willfulness in our walk. We will reject the Word of God when it speaks to a sin many times. The Word of God should be in our life to the point that the Word of God speaks to that. God, if you would, with His arms wide open, seeking us to come to Him for comfort, for encouragement, for forgiveness. If we do not have a place for the Word of God in our lives, we will cease to miss our daily time in the Word. I have found that to be the case in my own walk with the Lord. We cease to miss our daily time. Should be every day we are focused upon God's Word and how it's applicable in our lives. If we don't have a place for the Word of God in our lives, we will stop sharing the gospel. We will add to the gospel. We will add to man's works. We'll add man's works to the gospel. But we'll stop sharing the simple, clear, understandable plan of salvation. We will stop serving. We will find excuses not to be involved in the work of the Lord. We will oppose those who are striving to do God's will. We will be able to find things that we just don't like about, and you can name, fill in the blank, the person, their delivery, their attitude, the sound of their voice. We can find all kinds of things when we don't have the Word of God in our lives. We will oppose a clear gospel. Oh, Mike, that's really simple. Goodness, we just got to confess our sins, and I believe in confession of sins, but we don't find that confession of sin is in the Word of God as far as salvation is concerned. We know we're sinners. God knows we're sinners. We come before Him with a humble heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever confesses, turns, burns, stops, starts, no, that whosoever believeth. Without the Word of God in our lives, we will oppose stressing the need for witnessing. Oh, I don't want to do that. That's so embarrassing. It's not time and place. I had been impressed with that by a man that has been a great influence, or was a great influence in my life. And I remember getting on an elevator that was packed with people with him. And we were going down from this higher level to a lower level or ground level. And we walk in on that elevator, packed, jam-packed. And he reaches in, he reaches into his pocket, and he said to the first guy, he said, "Listen, will you take and read this when you have an opportunity? Oh, not now, but later. It's best news I ever read." He took out another one, and he said to the next person, happened to be a woman, "Ma'am, would you read this when you have time?" "Oh, you don't have to read it now, but when you have time, best news I ever heard." And everyone on that elevator had a tract. We don't know whether they trusted Christ as Savior, but the Holy Spirit very well could have done His work in their lives, and they trusted Christ as their Savior because of a simple gesture by somebody who seemed to be discerned for them. People will respond to that. Nancy and I were in Memphis, Tennessee. We went to the Memphis Quartet show, and having a good time, and we went to eat at this little cafe down the street from where we were staying, and we walked in. My mind was on that elevator full of people. There was booths there. And one booth was occupied, I don't know how he did it, by one man and four women. And I remembered a similar incident. And I walked over to him and I said, can you tell me what kind of aftershave lotion you're wearing?" And he said, "Why?" And I said, "How do you, as ugly as you are, attract all these good-looking women?" He didn't laugh near as loud as the women did, but they laughed really loud. I gave them all a tract. You see, we need to focus on our responsibility as a believer. From one who has the Word of God within his life and within his walk, we'll begin to find reasons not to attend church services. "Oh, I just don't feel as good as I would like to feel this morning. Oh, it's such a beautiful day. I could sit out on a patio and listen to the birds sing." I might not be careful. It might be more pleasant than hearing me. But we will stop to attending church. Our lives will become no different than the lost when the Word of God has no place in our daily walk. What place does the Word of God have in your life? What place does it have in my life? Does it make a difference? It should. Is it making a difference? I don't know. Only you can answer that. God knows, but I don't. Our lives will become no different than the lost. Paul writes to a church that was full of problems, so much so that he wrote, and to quote, unquote, an old farmer, he cleaned the plow of the church at Corinth. And he says in chapter 15, verse 34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. You know how it ends up, that verse? I speak this to your shame. Is it any different with us? Would Paul, if he were to walk in our church doors and sit down, would he call out, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God? I speak to your shame. Let me say this. Let me put it this way. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. Mike, I speak this to your shame. You can fill in the blank if you want to put a blank there and put your name. Are we doing all that we could do in our walk with the Lord? Read from James this morning. We read in James 1, verse 21, wherefore lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. What truth there is in that verse. We need to understand, as believers, the same word we reject is the same word by which God will chastise the believer and judge the lost. My question I want to leave with you this morning is, what place does the Word of God have in your life? What place does the Word of God have in my life? That should be our thought. Our prayer should be, Lord, give us your word. Make us faithful in discharging the responsibility that we have in sharing the gospel with others. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, that it doesn't contain truth. It is truth from cover to cover. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that you made eternal life a gift received simply by grace through faith. Father, that once we are saved, we're saved forever. We're your children. Father, we pray that you would impress upon us the importance of having your word in our walk with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.